interesting night last night for the Colorado Avalanche. Somewhat of a boring game, but they lose to Anaheim. That's that young, up-and-coming team that gave the Avs some fits last night. The Avs lose in a shootout last night. So we'll talk a little Colorado Avalanche. Maybe we'll see what the dude down the hall is up to. Where the Avs, I mean, every loss with the Avs is kind of whatever. But we'll get into that. Great two-man game podcast with Steve Smiley today. The state of the UNC Bears and college basketball in this area. Kevin Lytle will join us from the Coloradoan today. Talk about Colorado State. They're fairly fresh off of a dominating win over Air Force. And Broncos Patriots, we're getting closer, Mike. How we feeling about the matchup? The whole show starts now. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, my name is Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Last night was one of those, hey, I watched the first period of the Avs game, and it was like, man, I've been watching so many things lately. Like, there's college basketball, local stuff, every single night. We had the national championship on Monday, so I turned in early. It was nice to, you know, get some sleep early, and I thought, hey, the Avs are going to be fine without me. But they lose to the Ducks last night, 2-1 in a shootout. The Avs are now 3-1-2 on this season long 7-game homestand. That one wraps up on Friday night against the Flyers, I believe. So, but how do you view it when the Avs lose, Mike? I mean, the Avs are they're the best team in hockey. So when they lose, you kind of just, unlike any team we're really following right now, you kind of shrug your shoulders like, meh. Get them the next night. You truly feel that way about this Colorado Avalanche team.
Well, I just expect them to win every night. This Avalanche team, normally I'm not like that. Normally it's just with the Broncos I expect them to win. With the Avalanche, because they've been so dominant, I expect them to win every night. And I do take umbrage with something you said earlier.
Okay.
Last night's game, I'm listening the entire time, and I'm on the edge of my seat, and I'm like, they can't score.
But watching it
was so exciting.
Yeah, see, the dude down the hall and Tanner were talking about this morning, and it was just kind of one of those muck it up type of games. But you liked that.
I mean,
that kind of game.
Maybe I know radio is different than TV. It was a lot of times when I'm following the Avs, I'll watch it on TV. Last night, it was just exciting. And I don't know if you know, he was on his game, or if he was just better than usual, and he's always great. But I was just, especially that third period, end of the second, beginning of the third, I was just like,
yeah, I don't know. With hockey for me, like, if we're not in the first period, a lot of times, if we're not getting, you know, any goals, for me, it's harder to get into it from the get-go. But if you're saying you have fun with those low-scoring kind of games,
fine. Last night especially just felt like it. It felt like the Avalanche dominated, even though they only scored one goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, they're dominating the entire Western Conference, Michael. I mean, are you... You look at this team, are you shocked that they're this good?
I'm shocked that they can't win in overtime. Like, I'm shocked that they don't have more overtime victories. Like, every time they lose, it's because they don't win in the shootout.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing that I worry about is when they get to the playoffs, if they go to overtime.
Which those games are typically there's going to be a lot of those games that are probably going to come down to that, right? So if there is one concern, your concern would be how do they finish in those tight games?
Yeah, they're kind of like the anti-Broncos.
And Broncos are going to finish. We know how they're going to do more often than not in those tight games. Broncos-Patriots coming up on Sunday, Mike, and I don't know. I've had this steady flow of calmness this week about this.
And you're welcome.
Well, it's not you. Definitely not you. I wouldn't take my Broncos advice from you because you think they would win no matter what.
I mean, and that's I not have a been realistic, right so often this year.
That's not a realistic way to look at it. And more often than not, I'm the guy that's, you know, yelling at the table saying he's a backup for a reason. So to expect just more of the same from Denver with Jarrett Stidham in there is kind of silly. But why is it for me, and I don't know the answer to this, because my logic is creeping away from me at this point. I haven't seen Jarrett Stidham play much. I mean, he's 1-1 as a starter. We saw him a couple of years ago in the regular season when Russell Wilson was ultimately benched. We saw him in the preseason, and he looked good. I mean, he was really good in the preseason. So what is it about? Is it Sean Payton that's giving me confidence in this? Is it my lack in today's belief in Bo Nix as a top-tier quarterback? And I know it sounds like I have dismissed Bo's season more often than not throughout the course of this week. I think you can do, you know, two things at the same time here. You can say you're not extremely worried about Jarrett Stidham taking over for Bo because the drop-off is not there. But you can also respect Bo Nix's journey right now and how, like, I truly maintain this. My, you know, Keeler disagreed with me yesterday with the post, and he's saying that kind of clutch gene is irreplaceable. And I guess I asked the question, 60% of some, a good chunk of the games, this offense was stagnant. And that was, you know, Bo didn't hit. We were complaining at the beginning of the season. Bo wasn't hitting on a lot of those deeper throws. He was missing by a few inches or whatever. He just didn't have that touch. Now, he started to hit some of those. But I guess I'm just not – I scan the area. I read the Denver media. I read local media. I listen to local media. I watch local media. And there's just this strange fear that the drop-off is so colossal that it's just this, hey, there's no chance now. Going up against the New England Patriots. And I personally just don't feel that way. I don't think Bo has arrived. I think he will arrive. I just don't feel like Bo is in that same category of if that QB goes down, your entire way of living is now changed. I just don't buy into it.
I don't think he's arrived as in, oh, he's arrived. I think that is yet to come. He's probably going to be more of a late bloomer in the NFL than we want him to be, but he has arrived in my mind, but I don't think there's that much of a drop-off. There's more of a drop-off.
But why do you say that? Based on, because you and I are both in the same boat. We haven't seen Jarrett Stidham play that much, so why do you say that? That must mean
you've seen a lot of Bo Nix, but you
haven't seen a lot. You've seen a lot of Bo Nix, and that would lead me to say the people that are saying that, which you're not wrong, based off of what you've seen from Bo, you're willing to say, I don't know that there's a major drop-off, and that's 100% on Bo Nix.
I don't know if it's 100% on Bo Nix, and as much as it is, you know, the other day he was called one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, that's believable.
Who called him? Bo or Jarrett?
Coach said that.
Sean Payton saying that about Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah, one of the top three.
Well, let's not forget.
That's probably an insult to one of the other quarterbacks, but I also believe that could very well be true because I think he could probably start somewhere in the league.
Well, let's not forget, Sean Payton went with Jarrett Stidham well before Bo Nix was even a thought. Bo Nix was still playing college football, and it appeared that at that very time, when Sean made the decision to bench Russell Wilson for Jarrett Stidham, that he was, hey, are you going to go back next the following season with Jarrett Stidham? That was before Bo Nix was drafted. And even when Bo was drafted, there was still a conversation to be had about whether or not Stidham should be the guy. When Bo is announced the starting quarterback, I'll bet you Sean Payton would write in his tell-all book that Jared Stidham was the better quarterback at that time. But what do you do a lot of times with rookies? You say, hey, we want to give them the experience. A lot of people weren't expecting the Broncos to make the playoffs last year, so we're going to throw Bo Nix to the Wolves this year, have that be a learning year. And it was a bonus. In a learning year for a rookie quarterback, you made it to the playoffs. And then the pressure was certainly on Denver this year to get back there, and here we sit. Yes, Michael.
If Jarrett Stidham had started that first year, I would not have minded. Like, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't have either.
He is a good quarterback, and I truly believe that, and I will defend that. I have seen him play in the pros. Yeah, he's going to be a career backup. And yeah, I think he is one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, unless we find out another Sam Darnold has been given the wrong opportunity. But he is one of the top 32 quarterbacks. I believe that. He could go to a terrible franchise and start there. He could go to Cleveland and take over that franchise and get them 6 wins. We have him. We're lucky to have him. I think we are.
But based on, and this is where I'm asking, based on what you've seen in a very small sample size of Jarrett Stidham, you're willing to throw that out there? Like, he could go to many other teams, or is this based off of what Sean Payton is telling you? And I'm just asking the question.
I believe that. I truly believe that. I've believed that all along. He had some hype early in his career that he could go in the first round. I kind of bought into that, but watching his career towards the end, I more accepted the third, fourth, fifth round draft grade that he was getting. But I still like him as a quarterback. I still think he's the best backup quarterback. I would take him over former first-rounder Marcus Mariota.
You've said that multiple times. Why? Why is that the name that suddenly enters your brain? That
because
you take him
I'm like,
him.
I think I'm the only person in the world who was violently upset when he was drafted number 2. I'm like, why are people drafting him? I could have told you he would have been a bust.
Because you watched him closely because he was in
Washington.
Yeah, because
he was at Oregon, and I'm like,
conference.
This guy is overrated.
He said, Chris says, Brady, I agree with you on Bo's short career. I don't think there's a wide fall off currently between he and Stidham. Well, and to be fair, I don't know that there's a major fall off between Bo and a lot of backup quarterbacks. I mean, a good chunk, sure. But I'm trying to say this. I think in 3 years' time, replacing Bo Nix is going to be more difficult. I think I predict, and I think a lot of people predict this, that Bo will be a household name as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He will be. But has he answered every question? Has Bo Nix answered all of your questions? Like, you think, there he is. He is John Elway. He is Peyton Manning. He's even Jake Plummer.
He'll never be John
Elway.
I'm
just saying, like, there's a sure thing when it comes to starting quarterbacks. He's Lamar Jackson. He's Joe Burrow. He's Josh Allen. He's Patrick Mahomes. Are you willing to say that he fits in that? Because after 2 years, even though Allen had a weird sophomore slump, after 2 years, there was no doubt in Buffalo. There was no doubt that Josh Allen was the franchise quarterback.
I think there's no doubt in Denver.
But that kind of no doubt? I don't know. I don't know that I agree.
I think there are a lot of things that you could argue that, you know, maybe I was wrong. I was excited about this core of wide receivers, and I might have been wrong about that. I don't think they're as talented as I thought they were. And I'm not just trying to say, hey, Bo Nix. I don't think they were as talented as I thought they were. Clearly, the running back room is just one guy and the Joker. I mean, they're just not running the ball that
well. I know you're trying to be funny, but let's not pretend that R.J. Harvey is winning an award.
No.
Yes,
no,
he's the not. Idea of being a Joker, but if you're saying that R.J. Harvey is like a long-term plan based on the information we have today, you're kidding yourself.
I don't know what they're doing with him.
I don't know what they're doing with him. I don't know what he'll be like next year. We've seen spurts. We've seen cool things, but I don't think anybody's saying, other than that offensive line, I don't think anybody's writing a book about how great one player on this team is.
So Bo has the problem is an argument you could make for Bo having a handicap is he has an offensive line. He doesn't have a lot of really dangerous weapons around him, including he doesn't have a dangerous security blanket.
And we haven't seen Evan Ingram be that guy. You know,
we thought maybe
Evan Ingram was going to be that guy, but he wasn't that guy. And he hasn't been that guy. Is that somebody that steps up in a big way for Jared Stidham? I just have this sneaky suspicion that you're going to see an offense that doesn't wait until the fourth quarter. I know it sounds like I'm just coming in here this week saying, Bo's, hey, maybe he's not the guy yet. I do believe he is, but I'm also not, I don't agree with you on he's in the same category. Once Patrick Mahomes started for Kansas City, there was no doubt. Once Buffalo pretty much drafted Josh Allen, there was no doubt. Joe Burrow, same story. I'm just not willing to say, after 2 years for Chicago, Caleb Williams, they're all in. That's the guy. I just don't put Bo in that same category today. And that, for this weekend, gives me some confidence that this is the perfect situation if you are going to have a terrible thing happen to you as a team. This is the time to have it happen. Now, again, regular season, all that stuff. In Bo's career, I'm just saying he's not. And I'm hearing Keeler yesterday tell me, "Oh, I'm going to push back on you. I'll push back on you." Most of Denver media would push back on me. Was I watching something different? Was I watching the same games as you guys are watching? If you're telling me, Michael, that oh no, he's a sure thing like Josh Allen, am I seeing something different? Because what I saw was a team that struggled mightily to score points at times. Was a team their offense would just go dormant at times. And that leads you to believe that Bo is a sure thing, that guaranteed. Now, I think he will be, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think there's a lot of growth that we need to see from Bo in the next few years.
Still need to see some growth, but I still think he is a franchise quarterback. Need a few more weapons.
But he's not a slam dunk. He's not a slam dunk. Not like a lot of these guys are. And that's why with this change at quarterback, the idea that, oh, wow, you guys were cooked before, or you guys had a chance before, and now without Bo and Jerson, I'm not going to sit and listen to national media tell me how big of a draw. I mean, you're hearing guys that had literally nothing to say about Bo throughout the course of the season. There wasn't a lot of, wow, well, he's an X factor. There was a lot of praise for his comebacks. And that was cool. I mean, there was certainly a lot of talk about how, hey, Bo willed this team to winning games late. I mean, the Giants game for one. But I guess I asked that question, like, should you have been down to the Giants like that in the first place without taking away what Bo has done in those comebacks? You know, I understand it's.
But
it sounds like I'm talking out two sides of my mouth. But when I was saying that the playoffs would go through Bo Nix, I could also be fair and say the playoffs are going through the quarterback position.
And the playoffs are going through the play calling position. I mean, we haven't exactly had the best play calling. We've been criticizing Sean
Payton
all
year. But is that Sean calling the plays that he feels is best for his young quarterback in order to develop? I mean, there's a lot of development stuff that has been happening with Bo in these last 2 years. So is that Sean, hey, we don't roll out this crazy elaborate playbook for Bo just yet, because it is going to be a slow build for him. He's going to be a guy that's steady, you know, doesn't get sacked a lot, doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. And then someday, third year, fourth year, it just all clicks and he's a tier one quarterback. That's my hope. If I were betting on that to happen, I would say, yeah, count me in on that bet. But it's not there right now. And this is part of the reason where I'm thinking this still comes down to, is your defense going to be elite like they were most of the season? 10-year play, can your offensive line do what they've done most of the season? Can they get a little bit better even in the run block game? And if J.K. Dobbins does go, does he create something that you haven't experienced for several weeks now? I don't know if he goes. I don't know if he plays a lot. Even if he was 100% healthy, Sean Payton hasn't exactly said, hey, we're going to just go all at it and give the ball to J.K. Dobbins. Even when he ends up with like 18 to 20 carries, a lot of that is in a certain quarter, he just happens to get like, you know, he'll get like 8 carries on a possession. And that's why those numbers kind of look inflated. But I still don't know that Sean can stick with the run game. Maybe that changes with a guy like Jarrett Stidham. 26 minutes after the hour, want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. It is going to get cold, sounds like, this weekend. If you're having those issues with your heater, you're not confident in your heater, now's the time. Maybe you've had issues. Maybe the whole thing is running down. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling, and they'll help you out. They got free estimates available. Go online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com or give them a call today, 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. The Nuggets are back in action tonight. It's going to be a fun show today. It's going to be a fun show today. We'll be right back.
Basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the show. I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for their clients. Call my friend Ryan at 970-674-8825 or visit them online at team-rig.com. Joining me now on the First Advantage hotline, we got the Lonster?
Go, Bianco.
Yeah. Lonster, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing real good. How about yourself?
You know, we're hanging in there. We're getting dangerously close to a very important weekend in Broncos history, so I'm excited about that. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, you know what? I'm excited for both games. I'm excited for the Broncos and then also the next one, too, the Rams and the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be I think it's going to be a hell of a weekend. Hell of a weekend in the NFL.
It's going to be a fun Sunday for sure.
Yeah. How do you feel about the whole quarterback thing?
You know what? I feel pretty good about it, but if they damn need to win, I tell you what, they need to get the offense going to really get out there and score some touchdowns here a little bit.
What do you think of my take? Like with Bo, maybe at some point he'll be there, but let's not kid ourselves. This offense has had plenty of time throughout the course of this season where they would just go dormant. We didn't see much from them, and now suddenly I'm supposed to pretend that Bo Nix is irreplaceable. I guess I'm not falling into that camp.
No, I'm not following that either. I mean, to me, this offense really needs to get out there and really start running up some points on that if they really want to win this thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we see a couple of deep shots early in this game from Jarrett. I would not be shocked.
No, I wouldn't either, but I am looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah. All right, Lonster, appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, one thing, go Broncos.
See, even Lonster's like, come on, it's kind of annoying. You know,
go
the whole
Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, you're just obsessed, man. You're obsessed. That's whatever. You do you. He said, Chris, as Tanner brought up this morning, Stiddy, he and Tanner are close, won't be the reason the game is lost. It'll be on the rest of the guys. This is what I've been saying. Stop. No, he said, Chris, this is not a Tanner thing. I've said I don't believe it's going to come down to, if they lose, to who the quarterback is. I think the Denver defense will play well. But the Patriots will crack a few of those codes throughout the game. I think it could happen. But it doesn't, you know, I think there's going to be some, I think Denver's going to get some turnovers again. I think they're like sharks in the water, Michael, where they smell blood in the water. They're like, okay, we can get these. We have a very aggressive pass rush. We have excellent corners. And we're going to be able to take advantage of any of the Patriots' miscues throughout this game. And let's not pretend that Drake May has arrived either. I'm not willing to say that. He had a phenomenal season, though. Patriots fans are probably feeling better about their franchise quarterback in Drake May going forward than Broncos fans about Bo. If they had to be honest with themselves, because Drake May had one of the best performances this year in the NFL.
The stats do back him up.
Yeah, they sure do. He's a hell of a quarterback.
The wins back both teams up, though.
But young quarterback, on the road, tough environment, either way you want to slice it. He's still going. Nothing's changed defensively. He's still going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. So that part, you have to give the credit where credit is due. Has there been a slight drop-off defensively from the Broncos over the past 4 or 5 weeks? 5, 6 maybe? 6, 7 even? Yeah, there has been. But when push comes to shove, and you need a play to be made, and you put Denver's defense up against maybe even the best, and this is one of the best offenses, this is close, then I like the Broncos' defense odds of winning that battle. So, I don't know, man. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, Mike.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Except for like two people.
But yes, the Patriots could absolutely win this game. Yeah, there's a darn good chance. I just don't know that the Broncos are cooked. Like we're trying to pretend.
Broncos aren't cooked. They're cooking.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see on Sunday, 35 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick, Michael, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I got a brand new sponsor that I'm excited about, Foundations Sports Nutrition. Here in Greeley, they're actually just a little west of us here. If you know where there's a Sonic and like a Wells Fargo Bank, go north of there and you'll see Double Diamond CrossFit and now Foundation Sports Nutrition. And what I love about this place, what I'm learning here, and we're going to get to know more about them kind of as we go here through the new year. This is for people that are like hardcore. If you're lifting, exercising hardcore, or if you're just like, you know, you're trying to stay active, you're trying to make a couple of tweaks in the new year. Foundation Sports Nutrition's there. There's so many people, and I'm guilty of this, where it's like, I want to get on some protein. I want to take some kind of vitamin that's going to help me out, you know, make me feel better and stronger and all that stuff. Then you need to talk to people. You can't just get on Amazon, you know, and find, oh, there's some good stuff. Oh, this is recommended by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, you're not Arnold, and you're not probably going to lift weights or exercise for 8 hours a day. So you need something that's going to fit your lifestyle. What's your kind of, what are your goals? What are your workout patterns? Those kind of things. And that's where Foundation Sports Nutrition comes in. So we're going to be learning about them a lot more throughout this year. So we're excited to have them as a brand new sponsor of the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Oklahoma says, good thing the game is in Denver. Let's see. Boston is supposed to get a foot of snow Sunday. Would be very messy. Are we supposed to get some winter action this weekend, too, or starting tonight, maybe?
I heard we're starting to get some snow Thursday and Friday, but then again, I checked the Google machine and didn't listen to KFKA.
Why didn't you listen to KFKA? Wow.
Because I'm
wow,
lazy,
really?
Brady.
You didn't listen to what?
I'm lazy.
How do you work here? That's like saying, hey, I work at Walmart, but I don't shop here. Like, what are you doing to us, man? That's a fireable thing. We might have to fire you twice in 2 weeks. Really?
I'm firing myself.
You're going to fire yourself? Okay.
Oh, now the internet says we're getting snow on Sunday for some reason?
The internet. The internet says it.
The internet, yes.
No, you're doing the wrong things, man. We got Cody the weather guy. Cody the weather guy is the best weather guy there is and just happens to do a podcast here with 1310 KFKA. You can check that podcast out at 1310kfka.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, if you want, you know, the opposite of what Micah's getting, and that is
just probably the
wrong information. Yeah, that's what you're getting, is the wrong information. Wild
it's supposed
to me.
To be 90 degrees and supposed
See,
to have
stop.
A hurricane.
Just stop doing what you're doing. Just stop. You're just saying things now. Now you're just saying
this
things.
Is according to the internet.
Yeah, how does a if the weather is rough, how does that impact both teams? You saw the Patriots play in some kind of some crazy weather last week against the Houston Texans. I don't know if it'll be crazy, but you know, just who does that help in this situation if we come down to it? Which I don't know. I think by Sunday we'll probably be fine. But you look at that game against Houston last week for New England. I mean, C.J. Stroud was just really bad, guys. He had four interceptions, and you know, with Drake May, he lost. You know, he had two fumbles and a pick in that game. So Houston's defense was doing the things they needed to do. They couldn't survive all those turnovers by C.J. Stroud with the four interceptions, and then I think they had a fumble too. So a very similar situation is what the Broncos dealt with Buffalo. A lot of turnovers, and it still took overtime to get it done against the Bills. And that does, as much as people are knocking Josh Allen, and even when he has a rough game, you still need overtime and a couple of crazy plays to go your way in order to beat him.
There is a stark contrast between Josh Allen and the talented Buffalo Bills offense and C.J. Stroud and whatever the Texans call an offense.
And it wasn't that way all season. It just, you know, when he got hurt, Davis Mills came in and he was actually playing pretty well. And there was actually conversations around Houston. Does Mills give you a better shot to win, or does C.J. Stroud? And at least based on the most recent games, Stroud was bad against Pittsburgh. Stroud was bad against Pittsburgh, too. It ended up being a blowout, but that should have been a major blowout. But the offense just kept giving them chances to stay in the game. So should New England have won by? I mean, the Texans were never really out of this thing. New England gets that score in the fourth quarter to ultimately decide this, to put Houston away. But that's something to take a look at. The game last week, what were they able to do? I mean, Houston, they kind of slowed down that run game. Stevenson had 70 yards. I think Henderson, he really struggled. 12 carries for 25 yards for him. And Drake May was pretty pedestrian in that game. 179 yards, three touchdowns, but he was sacked five times, threw an interception, and fumbled it twice.
That's the best defense he's faced.
Yes. And some would argue that's the best defense in the NFL.
Some would argue.
Some would argue. And Houston, they're very good at creating turnovers. And that's the one thing I kind of said, well, that's where Denver kind of lacked this year, was their ability to force turnovers. But, you know, throughout the regular season, that was one of the things for Houston. They were able to do a lot better than a lot of these teams, a lot of the superior defenses. You know, I mean, as far as interceptions, they have almost 20 interceptions this year. That was a very opportunistic defense. Can Denver be the same? They're a great D. You know, they're not going to go down in history like the no-fly zone or the Orange Crush. I think we put that debate kind of to bed. But this is also a team that gets after the quarterback. Best in the league to do it. Their franchise record. They were at least glancing at the team record. So that don't when I say there was a drop-off from this defense, that doesn't mean they're bad. That's how great and dominant they were at the beginning of the season and probably through more than the midway point. I think it was when they hit Washington. For some reason, Washington kind of figured some stuff out. And that was kind of the same situation that happened last season. But the difference between this year and last year's defense in the playoffs, they gave up 31 points to the Bills. They gave up 30 this year, but they created the turnovers that changed this game around. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day coming up in the noon hour. Buy or sell later on in the program. Kevin Lytle will join us from the Colorado, and we'll talk some Colorado State. On the football side, Jim Mora and company are making the rounds locally. How aggressive are they going to be in signing guys locally? It's all good that they're doing the thing, but signing the guys is what kind of matters, if that matters to you, which I don't know where I stand on that. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
For Hall of of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor, about 7 days away from their big anniversary, sign up for giveaways in the store that started on Monday. So you can check out an opportunity to get over there, and they're going to be giving away over 15 items from various bottles to a wine picnic set and a few other surprises. That's next Thursday at On the Rocks Liquor. That's the 29th. So, hey, celebrate businesses that are keeping it rolling, that have been, you know, in business for a while now, and they can't do it without you supporting them. So stop by. I know there's a lot of big chain-type liquor stores, but not all of them are going to have the managers there and the owners there. When you go in and say, hey, I just heard about this new beer release at a certain brewery I like. Do you guys have that in stock? On the Rocks will say, if we don't, we'll make sure we get it. You know, a lot of the big chain stores are not messing with that. Oh, yeah, let me bring that to our manager, and then it never really gets taken anywhere. That's On the Rocks Liquor. And so do me a favor. Busy, busy weekend coming up. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, the Nuggets are back in action tonight. And, I'm still a little, you know, upset with how that game went down against the Lakers. You're just blowing them out, man. You're smoking them. But coming up, you get a chance to redeem yourselves a little bit after losing two in a row. Go up against a Washington team that you beat, had some trouble with, but you did win 121-115 last time out. But it would be nice to just kind of blow this team out. Because now I'm fully expecting, the Nuggets are fully capable of winning some games without Joker. And with the latest report on Nikola Jokic, I wouldn't hold your breath that he'll be back by, which was my goal, February 1st, to go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I would not hold your breath. They're getting some decent news, though. Jonas Valanciunas is listed as questionable for tonight's game against Washington. Well, I don't know if he'll actually give it a go, but the fact that he's listed as questionable means his injury recovery is moving quickly. Christian Brown still listed as out. Tim Hardaway Jr. is now day-to-day with a right knee bruise. Jamal Murray is listed as probable with his left hip. Aaron Gordon is listed as probable. Cameron Johnson and Joker still quite a ways out. According to ESPN and also the Denver Post, Cam Johnson's knee has yet to progress to contact work and remains out indefinitely. Joker, with his knee, has resumed on-court workouts, according to ESPN. So that's where we are with Joker. He's still kind of doing that. They're just not going to force the issue with Joker, because you damn sure don't want what happened to Christian Brown to happen to Joker, where it looks like he's good, you put him back in, and then he takes a step, and then you have to experience the setback. So the Nuggets are going to baby this thing.
And, what are their record? And, what's their record and, without Jokic?
And winning during that process certainly doesn't hurt. I lost track. It is, let's see. 7-5. That's, hey, you're playing with house money right there, because we were desperate for just a chance to be a 500-type team. That was a goal. That was like, can you get to that? Can you be 500 without Joker? When Joker went down, they were 22-10, ended up losing the game that he went down in, and they are now 29-15. So that's pretty significant, pretty substantial for this team to be sitting at that point.
And they haven't exactly beaten some weak teams.
No, Boston, Philadelphia, all on the road, Cleveland, Toronto. I mean, they survived. They had a pretty decent, all things considered, a pretty decent monster road trip there to end December and start January. Then you beat Milwaukee. New Orleans, Dallas, Washington. Then you dropped a stinker of a game to Charlotte. Had Los Angeles on the ropes. And you just missed a lot of shots. Try to recover tonight, 5 o'clock. Nuggets at Wizards. 11:57 the time. We'll get to top stories of the day coming up next.